The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Starting a fullback instead of a running back? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
We are on to the final week of the fantasy football regular season. Where has time gone? Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is Tuesday. My name is Field Yates. Matthew Barrett to my left. What's up, partner?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I'm very excited. Very, very happy.
I was expecting something different, but it's good. I'm glad you're happy.
Well, listen, we're at week 13. Start of week 13. We have, what, 4 weeks to go?
Five full weeks to go, but 4 weeks if you don't play into week 17 for your fantasy season.
Right. I intend to fully just phone in week 17. I'm sure I have content to do, but I'm just letting everyone know.
So you're
phoning more than normal.
Well, here's the thing.
I should say.
If you say that you're phoning it in, it takes you off the hook from actually phoning it in. Like, if you state your intentions, there's nothing we can do about it. And Mike Clay is here, as always, on Tuesday. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good to be here. I had the week off last week, so it's nice to be back here.
I was noticing you were looking like very refreshed. You're happier this morning.
We had the short week. We had the short week.
That too. And last night I was able to start booking my fast passes for Disney, which has me looking forward to the off season as well.
So. That's how you know you're a dad. When, like, you know, vacation.
Yes.
Hang on. That's when you know you're a nerdy dad. I mean, like, let's be clear. Like, taking your kids to Disneyland or Disney World, that's being a dad.
Right.
When you're – and because I know your schedule is similar to mine, which is you're not free till at least January.
Yeah.
So the earliest you guys are going to Disney World is at some point in January. And I'm guessing, knowing that your oldest daughter is in school, I'm guessing you're not going to probably, like, February break. Have I figured this out correctly?
It's not during a break. Not necessarily
you're
during a
break. You're pulling
him
out of school.
Wow.
Right. You're a bad dude. You're a bad dad. You're taking him out of school, taking him out of the education system.
He's a nerdy, edgy dad.
We're going to learn edgy some dad. Stuff. We'll learn
right.
some stuff at Disney.
But anyway, whatever. So, you know, doing your fast passes months in advance, by the way, super smart,
yes.
but kind of nerdy. Let's be honest. What did you book your fast pass for the Avatar ride, I assume?
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
we got that
That's
one.
Terrific.
And, you know, Toy Story World and stuff. But at least I don't have a spreadsheet with it all mapped out with the dates and dinner. Yes, I do.
Do you have Halloween candy box?
Of course he does.
Of course I do.
Of course. You've got an Excel spreadsheet with, like, your wife, Mandy, is so unbelievably patient. It's amazing. She is...
At least
she's
I have everything
saint.
On lock.
She's
I got it all
a
on lock.
Saint and angel among women. Your wife is.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Field, I got to figure out just how nerdy Clay gets here. Have you?
Fair.
All right, so you've
got his Halloween candy for next year.
Right,
a lot of them discounted.
Yeah, of course.
After his past
he's
year.
Got a, he's got an Excel spreadsheet of all the different rides he wants to do at Disney World. Are you going to Disney World or Disneyland?
Disney World.
Disney World. So you're going to Florida. And he's got it on an Excel spreadsheet. Have you done projections on the wait times of the rides that you're not be able to going to get to? Have you been able to, like, Expedition Everest is, 134 feet from, the Rapid River, ride. So, we can make that in 10 minutes. Like, have you figured all that out yet too?
Well, listen, here's the thing. You need a good sample size to do that. I've only been there twice the last 2 years. This
right?
is three. So I think after three times, I'll have some good data here, have a good feed. I could start working on that.
So great.
Don't pretend like you don't want that data once it's ready. You want it.
I fully cop to it. I'm a Disney freak. I absolutely love Disney World. And the only thing better than going to Disney World is taking young children to Disney World.
That's why we go.
And, and seeing that world through their eyes. It is truly magic. And you can call me a company man, but that's just legit. I'd go there I'd go there every weekend if I could.
There's something about Disney that just gravitates towards the fantasy community or vice versa. Isn't Ryan McDowell's wife? Ryan McDowell does a great job of fantasy content on Twitter. I believe she helps plan Disney vacations for family.
She does. He's reached out a few times. So definitely, if you're going, you need some help, check him out.
And by the way, the last time we gave Ryan a shout out, he DM'd me. The last time we gave Ryan a shout out, we got his Twitter handle wrong. So I want to make sure we get it. It is at Ryan Mick23. So Ryan MC23 at Ryan MC23. And if you need some Disney help, obviously, then there you go.
Reach out to him and
his wife can hook you up.
Let's get to the game last night. The Texans win their 8th straight. They are now 8-3. 34-17 is the final. And Deshaun Watson, he rolled along last night. Only 24 passing attempts and yet 29.4 fantasy points, in large part because he got 13 points, with his legs. We've seen a little bit more of Watson running the football of late. His 8th game with at least 5 rushing attempts so far this season. He was one of the stories, but how about Lamar Miller?
And let's talk about this. Tighten down.
Yeah, tighten
like
way
at
down.
At some point, Tennessee, I mean, it's a Monday night game. You're playing a division rival. You're in the playoff hunt.
What a few weeks for them, though.
And like, show up.
Well, here's the thing.
They didn't even show up, Field.
But how weird has their schedule been so far this year? So remember a couple weeks ago, they go back-to-back wins in Dallas over the Cowboys.
Yeah,
they beat the
great
Patriots,
win.
34-10. Dominating win.
And you're like, tighten up.
Tighten up. Mm-hmm. And then last week they get smacked by the Colts 38-10. And then
smacked.
Last night, 34-17.
Tighten down.
Tighten way down. Lamar
My
Miller,
God.
Tighten way up.
It's like the ghost of Jeff Fisher. Still hasn't left that building. Tennessee knows what I'm talking about. What?
So now you've crossed the line.
Stop it. By the way, that should be a ride at Disney. The ghost of Jeff Fisher. There's no curves. It's just a ride that's very like down the middle. Like that's all it is.
It's not slow, but it's not fast.
What are you going to do when Jeff Fisher gets a coaching interview this offseason? Because you know he's going to get one. Right?
New Browns coach.
What am I going to do when Jeff Fisher shows up here to be an analyst on NFL Live?
I know. Yeah. Anyway,
what am I going to do?
Let's get to the fantasy impact here. Lamar Miller last night ran pretty effectively, especially on one run. 97-yard run, his second in as many years. Lamar Miller, that was a turning point in the game. Titans go for a 4th-and-1. They hand the ball off to Luke Stalker. If you're wondering who that is, it's a tight end. First ever carry. They get stuffed. On the very next play, Lamar Miller scores a 97-yard run. Very impressive run right there. I got to tell you what, though, and I'm not trying to be a sucker here. The most impressive part of that run, Adoree Jackson nearly caught Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I saw that.
From like 15 yards behind.
And that was not the most impressive run of the game. It was Jonnu Smith is outrunning everyone straight up the middle. That was incredible.
I'm like, who knew Jonnu Smith had those kind of wheels?
He's a big receiver.
I guess we just haven't seen that in the pros yet. Like that kind of like, I knew he was a great athlete. I didn't think he had those kind of wheels, to be perfectly honest.
Probably the part in the Texans is going to generate the most questions. We'll turn our focus to the Titans in just a moment is what to do with these wide receivers. Demaryius Thomas, 4 catches, 38 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Meanwhile, Kiki Kuti, 2 for 14, actually leaves the game very late
Hang on, before we move on there, though, just in terms of Lamar Miller really quickly, that run was really impressive, but, you know, Lamar Miller averaging over 16 points a game over his last 5, like, I mean, so we were talking so much about Deontay Foreman. Do you think we see Deontay Foreman at all this year, or even if he is, if he's any kind of fantasy factor? Like, I feel like Lamar Miller, like every time you think Lamar Miller is going to be dead, Lamar Miller comes back. He's a fantasy vampire is what he is.
Right. Cause
he won't go down.
Yeah.
He won't back down. He's like Tom Petty. I'm serious about Lamar Miller. Like
I don't think you will because a couple of reasons. First of all, Miller's running well.
Yes.
They have their backup running back. They
Alfred
like
Blue.
Alfred Blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alfred he actually Blue had more, 115 carries this year.
Yeah. And he had more touches than Miller did last night in that game. So he's pretty heavily involved as well. I will say this though. This is Miller's first fantasy week this season, better than 12th. It's his first top 10, and he just finished 8th. So I don't want to get too nuts about his fantasy value. Still just like a back-end RB2 or flex.
I was just going to say, he's the definition of an RB2.
Yeah.
He's like the textbook definition of an RB2. Like there's not a lot of upside, but candidly, there's not a lot of downside as long as the Texans are reasonably in the game because there is a decent amount of volume with him week in, week out. It's just one of those weird things where, you know, like I will cop to it. I had Lamar Miller on the hate list this week. Obviously a bad call there. But one of the reasons why is because the Titans, at least prior to last night, don't give up big plays.
Yes.
Certainly
four
in the
points.
Running. Like, huh? Yeah. I mean, like they didn't. I mean, we had a low projection on him as well. And so, for him to get a 97-yard run was, I think, the most surprising play. One of the most surprising plays I've seen this year. let alone last night.
So in this game as well, I mentioned it, Kiki Cutie, 2 for 14, gets banged up very, very late in the game. But Demaryius Thomas, who had 0 catches week before, had 4 catches for 38 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm still getting used to seeing him in the 87 as opposed to the 88 in Houston as opposed to Denver. Do we make anything of it? Because I think what I'm going to say is this, is like we're having this conversation during the pre-show meeting. It's like maybe the reality is this. With 5 weeks left to go, are we sure that we're going to be able to accurately forecast who the non-DeAndre Hopkins Houston Texans wide receiver that you want to play is?
No. But here's what I will say. I want to say one quick thing. I want to give a shout-out to our buddy Mike Clay.
He's right here.
I want to talk about him as if he's not here.
Please
real
do.
Quickly.
Sunday morning,
Fantasy Football Now, the wide receiver quarterback matchup section. He highlighted Demaryius Thomas as having an excellent matchup and said, mm-hmm. I know it was brutal the week before, but this is just a terrific matchup here. And obviously, you're already starting DeAndre Hopkins, but loved the matchup for both Hopkins and Thomas. So
nice call, Mike.
That guy is smart. That guy is smart right there.
Nice call there. Just going to show you that.
I appreciate that.
You should absolutely watch Fantasy Football Now and then immediately shut it off as soon as Mike is off.
This is true. So
great call there. But I feel like, Mike, to me, this was more an aspect of that matchup. I mean, he has the great game and the 2 touchdowns, but still only 5 targets. He still has only 1 game with more than 63 receiving yards this year. It's his first game with multiple touchdowns since week 15 of 2015. So it's a great game. And if you had the guts to start him, if you listen to Mike on Sunday morning and you put him in your lineup, great. You'll love it. I just don't know that you can count on this. And if Kiki Cutie were to miss time, if this injury is more serious than we think, then okay. But assuming Kiki Cutie is back next week, I think I still prefer Cutie.
Yeah, and I just saw something cross on social media that suggested QT will probably play. So that's something to keep in mind for next week. Obviously, we'll watch his status throughout the week. I will say this. They only had, 24 pass attempts in this game. So there wasn't a lot of volume to go around. Still, they combined, Thomas and Hopkins combined for 11 of the 24 targets, almost half of them. That's good. If they throw more passes, which normally they will, that will
sure.
benefit
we'll
those
see.
Guys. You need to see that sort of target share. But keep this in mind. This is something that bothers me with these guys. Can you expect a lot of touchdown production from a guy like Thomas? Well, Deshaun Watson, he's thrown exactly 1 touchdown in 5 games. He's thrown exactly 2 in 5 games, and then he had that one bizarre game where he threw five
against the Dolphins. Right.
So the passing touchdowns, I mean, all but 1 game, he's been at 2 or 1 passing touchdowns. That's not very much.
Right. And so you're dividing that up, obviously, you know Hopkins is going to get his.
Yeah,
and so whatever's left over is being divided by Kiki Cutie and Demaryius Thomas.
Jordan Thomas and Ryan Griffin. And those guys will get some touchdowns.
I think it's a nice game, but in terms of fantasy intel going forward, I think both are risky plays. For me, it's more about cutting into Kiki Cutie's potential, who I was very excited about coming into this game, versus, you know, Demaryius Thomas suddenly being like, yes, he's a must start. I don't believe that to be the case.
For the Titans, 17 points could have been more. They left points on the field last night, despite a fantasy effective night from Marcus Mariota, 303 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns,
plus
Corey Davis with 23.5 points. It could have been much more. The very first drive, he drew that long defensive pass interference play, but can't ask for too much more out of Corey Davis, 4 for 96 and a touchdown. I'm going to quickly mention this because Mike has talked about the matchups for Corey Davis seemingly every week so far this season. So going back to that cornerback wide receiver matchup, well, Mike, it gets so much easier for him going forward.
Yeah, no question. The schedule is much lighter. There's Jacksonville mixed in there. Even they're giving up a ton to wide receivers as of late as well, but he will draw the Jalen Ramsey shadow. Otherwise, it's pretty clean sailing for him down the stretch. So he has had, again, we've talked about this a million times, he's had a tough matchup in almost all of his starts this season, and you've seen that in the fantasy production. The targets are down the past 2 weeks a little bit. That's a little bit of a concern. But as long as the matchups are good, you know he'll be efficient. And as long as Marcus Mariota is putting it in a spot where he can catch the ball, he'll be fine.
One of the good things about being at this point of the season with no more teams on a bye is that when you go and look at raw stat totals, you don't have to do it on a bye game basis because everybody's played the same number of games. No one has thrown fewer passes this year than the Tennessee Titans. So your point about like the targets being down for Davis is like, if they're down for him, then you can't possibly count on anybody else in this passing offense in Tennessee, despite what we saw from Jonnu Smith last night, a long touchdown that you talked about earlier, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, so Jonnu Smith has suddenly, like, he's scored in three of the last four.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you sit here and you talk about, well, he's a touchdown-dependent tight end, that's pretty much all of them. Like, outside your top 5 or 6 guys, it's pretty much all of them. And so if you're sitting here and you lost Jack Doyle, you're sitting here looking around for somebody, Do I think Jonnu Smith is in that tight end two touchdown dependent guy that you can start, and I don't want to say start with confidence, but somebody that you can say and like, hey, this guy has a shot at a touchdown. Because that, I mean, so many of our tight ends in fantasy this year are just basically, you need them to pay off with a score. And so here's a guy that is getting some looks playing the Jets this week. That's not a matchup that scares you. Obviously, you just saw what Gronk did to him last week. I mean, so yeah, I do think there's something a little bit viable to Jonnu Smith. He's still not getting a ton of targets, but he is finding the end zone here. You heard Mike mention Marcus Mariota, and I think that's important too. Like, I was down on Corey Davis coming to this game early in the week, but that's because my expectation was Blaine Gabbert was going to be starting.
Yeah.
You know, and so once you knew Mariota was going to start, obviously expectations rose for Davis and the Titans offense.
Did you know that 66% of men lose their hair by age 35?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm looking directly into a camera, actually. The thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Any bald spots there? How will you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there? I ask you this. Do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want to do something about it first? Do you want your hairline to recede, or do you want to do something about that first? Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? So go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions can help you keep your hair. And you order now. If you order now, our listeners get a trial month of 4hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. Go to the website for full details, and this would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/FFF. That's FORHIMS.com/FFF. 4hims.com/FFF. There's no waiting room. There's no awkward in-person visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. By answering just a few quick questions, doctors will review and prescribe you, and products are shipped directly to your door. Again, a trial month for $5 right now while supplies last, 4hims.com/FFF. That's FORHIMS.com/FFF, 4hims.com/FFF. All right, just a quick thing, by the way, on Deontay Foreman, just because it literally popped up on the timeline, is Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for us, does a nice job here at ESPN.com, tweets that Bill O'Brien said running back Deontay Foreman is doing better, but I don't think he's all the way back. The Texans opened the 21-day practice window on Foreman on November 14th. So they've got now 8 days left to make a decision off of on Deontay Foreman and whether to activate him to the 53-man roster.
Really quickly, before we get into that, just knowing we just talked about the game, I just want to quickly update Pigskin Pick'em.
Okay.
While we're here.
Yeah, sure.
This week, Matthew Berry, myself, Matthew Berry and myself... both had 9 wins this week.
Yeah, we
nicely
did.
Done.
Matthew has 92 total for the year. I've got 89. Coming in second place this week was Stefania. She got 8 correct games. Field, you had 7. And Not Cool Keith and Kyle both had 6.
Dude, Keith.
So season-long standings right now are Matthew, myself, Not Cool Keith with 86, Field with 84, Stefania with 83, and Kyle with 82. All first to last, separated by 10 games, which is a lot, but also when you're picking against the spread, could be made up in a week.
If somebody gets hot, they have an opportunity to crash this party.
100%.
Okay. I feel like you just issue the challenge. The gauntlet has been laid down by Daniel Dopp to me. All right. We got a ton of news on a Tuesday. Begin in Jacksonville, where a couple of things happen. We can get to the short part of it, which is Blake Bortles was benched for Cody Kessler. Guys, does this really make a difference, Mike, at all for the pass catchers in Jacksonville? Blake Bortles had been bad. Cody Kessler, like, he's a backup quarterback for a reason.
No, maybe it helps out a little in PPR because Kessler is known for his conservative play. So as long as they throw some bubble screens to D.D. Westbrook or short passes to D.D. Westbrook or really just D.D. Westbrook, because I think that's the only guy you could even consider for your flex. Maybe Dante Moncrief, but I'd be a little nervous with him working more down the field. I don't know that they're going to score much. They already haven't this season with Bortles in there. So really it's just that if you're looking for a flex, maybe you take that shot on Didi, but with no teams on a bye anymore, hopefully you don't have to do that. I would try to stay away.
Jaguars are pretty stay away as a team in general. However, at running back, that is not the case. But Matthew, Leonard Fournette was suspended yesterday for one game for going Mike Tyson against Shaq Lawson on Sunday afternoon in Buffalo.
Early Mike Tyson.
Early Mike Tyson, yeah, when he was still a good fighter. Matthew, Leonard Fournette, another game missed. This is frustrating. Carlos Hyde, I presume, would be the next man up. Is he the running back for the Jaguars you have the most confidence in starting this week?
No, I mean, look, I don't know that I have confidence in a lot of them. I mean, once Fournette went out of the game, by the way, I believe it was four touches for Yeldon, four touches for Hyde. So, yeah, both those guys, you know, sort of right there, right? So, I don't know. You know, it's not a game that I feel great about. Why am I blanking on who they're playing this week?
The Jaguars?
Yeah.
The Colts.
Colts. Thank you. Thank you. So the Colts are decent. The Colts are a decent run defense.
Okay.
So far this year, right? They are, they're actually ninth against the run over the last 4 weeks. So my expectation is honestly, is you hear Mike talk about, these two running backs here. I wonder if you see more Yeldon. My expectation is the Colts can score on them. Yeldon's had more time with the team, just more pass catchers. I think I'll probably have Yeldon ranked higher than Hyde. Hyde probably has the better shot at a touchdown here, but I think just in terms of how that game sort of plays out, given the fact that I don't think Kessler's very good, I think there's a chance, you know, he could turn the ball over. I think the Colts will be able to score on the Jaguars, so they're probably playing from behind. So in a game in which is that's evenly split and just knowing the way Kessler plays quarterback, I think you'll see more dump-offs to Yeldon. I mean, Hyde's a decent pass catcher as well. I'm curious, Mike, where you have these guys projected. I don't think I have a ton of confidence in either guy because I do think it's going to be a true running back by committee here. But if you ask me to pick one, I'll say TJ Yeldon.
Yeah, I have Yeldon too. I have him at 19 in early ranks, Hyde at 34. I think Hyde very much like a Jordan Howard. You're just hoping if you use him for two touchdowns, you know. And here's the other thing to consider. When Fournette has played this year, the Jags have been super run heavy, just like last season. When he has not played, they had been on the other end of the planet. They have been super, super pass heavy. That very well could be the case with Fournette out.
I guess my question is this. This is the first time that Carlos Hyde probably will be the unquestioned power back on this roster because Leonard Fournette obviously has been playing. I think Hyde had one game.
He had one game
before Fournette actually returned. That was when he had
barely been in
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Part of me wonders is like, hey, this is part of the reason why they traded for him is that, like, in the event that Leonard Fournette is around, not around, I should say, we can utilize Carlos Hyde in a Leonard Fournette light role.
Right.
And that you're going to your backup quarterback. They kind of get back to the basics this week. Do they attempt to? In theory, do the Jaguars want to run the heck out of the football this week to stay competitive and try to overwhelm the Jaguars at home? The last time these two teams played, Indy got up early, 14-7 lead at the end of the first quarter. Maybe Jacksonville thinks this is the reason why I have Hyde a little bit ahead of TJ Yeldon right now. We're going to try to grind this one out. We want to be the Jaguars of 2017 in week 13 of 2018, and we want Carlos Hyde to carry it 20 times for 107 yards with the touchdown.
Yeah, and by the way, if they don't use Hyde like that, why did he make the trade? It'll be the worst trade of the year by far.
Yeah, still a head scratcher.
Well, you know what? The other thing is though, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, along with all the Fournette news, is Nathaniel Hackett, their offense coordinator, fired as
right,
well.
Yeah.
So we don't know sort of the play calling tendencies either. I mean, it's a lot up in the air. There's a lot of unknown. And so you think about a week 13 game where, and a lot of people are in sort of a win and get in scenario where you need to win this week. And so we'll find out if Leonard Fournette's playing or not, right? He is planning to appeal. That's the,
and we'll find out by Wednesday, but he's like, what's the case he's going to make? You know, I said his best way to appeal to James Thrash and whoever else, I think it might be James Thrash and is it Troy Vincent too?
Right.
He's appealing to would be like, you know, one of you two would start me in fantasy this week. And if I don't play, you're screwed.
Yeah, let me see your team. You don't have Hyde or Yeldon. You need me. You
know? I think the argument would be, and I'm not saying it's going to be successful, but my expectation is that the argument would be is that if you think about the precedent of like Mike Evans, who last year threw a punch, got ejected from the game. I think that was the Saints game, right?
Yep.
Threw a punch, got ejected from the game, was not suspended the next week. And the argument was he already, quote, missed a game. He got ejected from the game. So that, I think, would be the argument that Leonard Fournette will make. I'm making this up entirely,
no,
by the way. I've not spoken
fair
to anyone from Leonard Fournette's camp or anything like that, but I'm just assuming that, like, because this is one of the reasons why we talked a little bit yesterday about, like, I'm not sure Fournette gets suspended because, again, he was more physical than Evans was, you know, I mean, and this took place, you know, it continued on into the hallway or whatever, the tunnel, if you will, but he got ejected from the game, so he missed part of the game. He's already, quote-unquote, been punished, and maybe they throw in another fine or something like that. So I think that might be the argument.
That will be the best-case scenario for Leonard Fournette. Other running back news is Rex Burkhead for the Patriots has been activated to the 53.
But anyway, let me just finish that thought, which is on that point, which is just it's a week 13. And in a week 13, like, you may not have a better option, but boy, oh boy, you know, in fantasy, we just talked about all the time in terms of trying to minimize risk and trying to, when you're in a situation with a backup quarterback, a new offensive coordinator, and a running back by committee that we, in a matchup that we don't think is great, it's just, it's so many unknowns. Could one of them have a huge game? Of course one of them could. But it's just, boy, oh boy, it's going to be one of those, how lucky do you feel if you're going to be starting one of these guys?
So Rex Burkhead has been activated to the 53-man roster by the Patriots, which, of course, he missed at least 8 games because of that neck/concussion issue. Yeah. Rex Burkhead, very talented player. The Patriots now have 3 very talented running backs in this backfield. So, Mike, I'll start with you again. Is one between Sony Michel and James White, their value impacted more by this Burkhead news? Or what is the trickle-down impact for Burkhead?
Yeah, I think it's similar for both. I think I'm moving them down both probably about 5 spots. I mean, James White's already trending down a little bit. You look at his targets, 9.1 per game from weeks 1 through 8, down to 6.7 the past 3 games. Some of that has been Sony Michel healthy and back in the mix. Some of it's Cordarrelle Patterson being mixed in, though. I will say this, Patterson, only 6 of his 20 snaps came at running back this past week. So I don't think we have to worry too much about him. It's really these 3 guys. I looked back to week 2, by the way. That's the only game where all 3 of those guys were healthy together. Yep. Now, granted, it was Sony Michel's first game, but James White, 34 snaps. Rex and Michel basically split the snap. So I think if you have Michel, you're a little more worried because he doesn't do, he has 6 catches this season, guys.
Two last week, of course.
That's a concern. I mean, if he's not out there when they're throwing the football and his carries come down by 5 or 6 a game, that's a problem. I mean, that pushes him into Jordan Howard, LeGarrette Blount when Kerryon Johnson's out, you know, Carlos Hyde territory. That's not good. That's going to hurt you in PPR. So I'm definitely more concerned for Michel than I am for James White.
Honestly, and I think Rex Burkhead is more about draining the value of those two guys than he is having any standalone fantasy value himself, barring injury to either Michel or White. I think you'll see him play some special team snaps as well.
Right.
So, you know, it's look, Rex Burkhead should be rostered, especially if you have White or Michel, just because it's the Patriots, and if something could happen, we've already seen Sony Michel get a little bit banged up this year. I think I can't imagine starting Rex Burkhead this week, and I would agree that I think, especially when you think about the fact they play Minnesota this week, both guys are sort of, in terms of Michel and White, basically running back 2s. You know, lower end running back 2s in this one.
Right. And who knows? With Bill Belichick, he might play 40 snaps this week with Burkhead. Like, you just don't know what that backfield.
Yeah.
I'd say the days of us ranking James White as a top 10 play at running back for now are probably not upon us, but it might be that him and Michelle still slot into those top, let's call it 16 to 18 spots. Jack Doyle, this is a surprise. Because of a kidney issue, is done for the year. Jack Doyle was outsnapped by Eric Ebron 46-36 on Sunday, and it was in part because Doyle left the game in the fourth quarter. We didn't know what the issue was at the time. He's now headed to injured reserve, which means that for all those people that hung tough with Eric Ebron and said, no, you guys are morons, he's going to keep scoring touchdowns. Well, you know something? You're lucky, because now he's going to be a big factor in this offense going forward. Eric Ebron now has, what, 12 total touchdowns already this season?
I believe he's got 11.
Well, I think he has plus 1 rushing touchdown.
Oh, plus the rushing touchdown. Yeah, so sorry, you're right.
12 touchdowns total touchdowns, for
you're
Eric
correct.
Ebron this
11
year.
Receiving touchdowns.
Ridiculous.
Tied with Tyreek Hill and Antonio Brown. Like, that's the in a crazy NFL season, there may not be any stat crazier than the fact that through week 12, the leaders in receiving touchdowns are Tyreek Hill, Antonio Brown, and Eric Ebron with 11 apiece.
I can think of 4 tight ends that I would want over Eric Ebron the rest of the season.
Okay.
Travis Kelce, obviously.
Yes.
Zach Ertz,
yep.
Obviously. George Kittle.
Yep.
Gronk.
Yeah. I think Gronk's
and
a
Gronk's
toss
a conversation. I know, I think conversation. Gronk's a conversation.
I think Kittle is too.
Yeah. Kittle, yeah.
I would say 3. You can make a case for top 3.
Yes.
You could.
You can, given how much they target the tight end, how well Andrew Luck is playing this year, the fact that his competition is now like, you know, Mo Alley Cox and Eric Swoop, you know, it's
Ryan
like,
Hewitt, right?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a lot else there. So Eric Ebron, or as the Hasselbecks constantly call him to me, Eric Ebron.
Right.
Right. They're like, you know, like LeBron, Ebron. because, you know, he put up 30 points so against me. He's the reason that the Hasselbecks managed to beat me in fantasy this year. So, I mean, you definitely top five, make an argument for top three. He's right there in that mix. And so, guy who has, you know, 7 targets or a touchdown in 10 of 11 games this year. And we know the Colts, you know, throw to the tight end as much as any team in the NFL.
Mike mentioned earlier that Deshaun Watson has one game this year with more than 2 passing touchdowns. Andrew Luck is currently on a skid of 8, I guess not a skid, a streak, 8 straight games with at least 3 passing touchdowns. That's offense insane. Is well-oiled.
And 56% of those touchdown passes from Andrew Luck have gone to tight ends this year. More than half of those touchdown passes, we know how many he's thrown, more than half of them go to tight ends, and now most of them are going to go to Eric Ebron.
It is. So, last piece
how
of
happy must you must be really proud, Daniel, just as a Detroit Lions fan, you know, spending that top 10 pick on Eric Ebron.
No, I had this
you know,
thing.
And just, I'm just, I just,
lame.
I just want to ask Daniel just if, you know, one pride, right? I mean, it's just like, cause once a lion, always a lion, right? And just, you know, all those classic great years, in Detroit and then seeing him for, you know, a regional rival, if you will.
Let me tell you why I'm excited for him.
Yeah.
Why's that? Eric Ebron was set up for failure being a top 10 draft pick.
Was he set up for failure for being a top 10 draft pick or just by going to the Lions?
By being a top 10 draft pick as a tight end. If you are not the next coming of Tony Gonzalez or
George Kittle.
Yeah, or George Kittle.
Right.
You are not going to be worth that top 10 pick. But like for him to be able to get out of Detroit, he had massive amounts of pressure there. Like the fan base was not thrilled with him. You know, good for him to be able to go here.
Do you think
and Andrew
the reason they were not thrilled
work.
With him is because he kept dropping everything?
Didn't help.
Is that one of the reasons why part of his
sometimes
job was to catch balls and he couldn't
and
do that?
The kid just gets. I'm glad the kid has got some confidence again.
I will say this. I know Matthew's having fun with Daniel, but some of the lamest insight I've seen out there is like, yeah, the Lions really screwed up by cutting Eric Ebron. There was complete unanimity on the front that like they had to trade, they had to cut Eric Ebron.
Analysis.
Like if you could, they would have taken him for a bag of peanuts if they could when they tried to trade him.
And everyone was okay with it then. Everyone understood.
Or maybe Andrew Luck's just a better quarterback and gets him the ball better so that he can catch it better. I'm just saying.
Tarika, I have no, like, listen, everybody agrees with that point. The point we're making is that it's so lame how people are like, yeah, the Lions, what idiots for cutting Eric Ebron.
And I would agree 100% with Field Gates. I'm just having fun with Daniel. I mean, like, They gave Eric Ebron every possible chance to succeed. I mean, they really did. And to your point, yes, Andrew Luck is a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. Andrew Luck's a better quarterback than most quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think that's a knock on Matthew Stafford to say he's not as good as Andrew Luck. And yes, and that is a tight end friendly offense, to be honest. I haven't looked at it close enough to know whether Eric Ebron's playing well. He's playing well in fantasy because of the way that offense is set up, and he's scoring a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, 11 touchdowns is good, no matter whether it's fantasy or reality.
But I'm just, you know, I don't know that he's
right.
Like,
no, I'm just saying he is. I'm telling you, he is playing well.
Yeah. 15 end zone targets leads the NFL.
Crazy.
Yeah. Let's volume, say there you go. Volumes, you know.
We just talked about the Lions. Let's keep it right there. Marvin Jones officially done for the season with a knee injury. He's on IR. It's now 2 games in of him missing with this knee injury. So we kind of know what the offense looks like. Kenny Galladay's value, I don't know that it's really – here's where it's changed is there was that rut he went into, where that 3-game rut where he had like 7 targets. Mm. He's now out of that rut. He's clearly heavily targeted week to week for the Lions. Like, he's a low-end wide receiver too.
Yeah, I was curious if they would move him into kind of, with Jones out of there, kind of into like a Mike Evans or like a clear number one target share pushing for 30%. And the answer is yes. His target shares are 33%, 40%, and 22% the 3 games that Jones has missed. He's wide receiver 17 on the season, and that was with Jones out there and Golden Tate out there for much of the season. And I think he's top 15 the rest of the season. He's a stud. He's a big player that can score touchdowns, and he's... You know,
it's an offense that's going to have to throw.
He's a good player.
You know, it's an up and down schedule the rest of the way. Rams this week, then at Arizona. You love both those matchups here. At Buffalo, you figure it's a shout-out from Tre'Davious White. Then home to Minnesota, you figure it's a shout-out from Rhodes. Then at Green Bay, and you like that in Week 17. So Week 15 and 16 might be a little bit tough for Kenny Galladay. You lower expectations there. But I will say that I agree with you, Mike, in that I think he's now must start territory, you know, the rest of the way. Like,
no question.
You know, maybe prior to the Jones injury, he was on that borderline, depending on the matchup, depending on who else you had kind of thing. But now I think you know, even in games where he's going to be facing like Rhodes or White, you're still starting him.
Yeah, and he'll draw Peterson in there too against Arizona, but you're right. You don't love that.
You think Peterson will shadow him?
No question.
Okay.
No question.
36 targets over the past three games for Kenny Golladay, including 23 since that Marvin Jones injury in those two games.
One last thing on that particular thing. I think this is an uptick in value for Theo Riddick as well. I mean, I know we saw a lot of LeGarrette Blount on Thanksgiving here, and maybe we'll get Kerryon Johnson back this week or well. But I think with a lack of, pass catchers, Bruce Ellington, TJ Jones, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of, I think Theo Riddick's going to have a very solid floor week in, week out in PPR leagues.
Even if Kerryon Johnson returns.
Correct. I do believe so, just because they just don't have a lot of guys.
Waiver wire foreshadowing.
Yes.
I was going to say, just putting the cart before the horse here, Matthew Berry. Andy Dalton is also out for the year. Tore thumb ligaments on that play when the center just airmailed a shotgun snap. He went back, retreated, tried to catch the ball, or to recover the football, I should say. He ends up tearing ligaments. He's out for the year. Jeff Driscoll stepped in and had some great garbage time production. So let's say that AJ Green returns at some point here soon, or you're still trying to start Tyler Boyd week to week. What does Jeff Driscoll mean for this Bengals offense, Mike?
I don't think it means much. I mean, I think it's going to be a slight downgrade, most likely. However, it might not be. Jeff Driscoll could be a thing. I mean, this is his third year. He was a late round flyer. He had high pedigree. I mean, the guy was the quarterback at Florida. He moved on to Louisiana Tech, had a very good season there. I believe Carlos Henderson was his top receiver that season. And then he comes to the NFL and this kind of, he got waived a couple times and is working his way up. He earned the number two job in Cincinnati. There could be something here. He's a young quarterback that's going to get a real shot here. So don't be surprised if he's at the very least competent and can keep guys like AJ Green and Tyler Boyd fantasy relevant and move the ball enough that Joe Mixon gets scoring chances.
He's
very possible.
An awesome athlete.
Yes.
Ridiculous athlete.
Adds value to his legs.
4.55 40, 4.56 40 at the NFL Combine. He is going to be able to scramble his way. It's not quite Lamar Jackson level, but I'm just talking, he might be, in terms of starting quarterbacks, one of the 10 most athletic players right now in the NFL. So there is at least a floor there. I don't know that any of us advocate for him as a starter now. But
two quarterback league, deeper league. Yeah. I would agree that I don't think it's, I don't think it's a massive drop off from
Dalton.
It's
not torpedo the value of Tyler Boyd or AJ Green, et cetera.
But it's interesting you bring that up. I brought this up on Twitter and people thought I was crazy. But I wonder if we've seen the last of AJ Green as a result of this, because the Bengals are now 5-6. And so while mathematically they're still alive in the playoff hunt, the truth is that they're really competing for that last AFC wildcard spot, right?
Correct.
The Steelers are going to win this. The Ravens won last week. So my expectation is that if the Bengals are taking a real honest look at themselves, they're not making the playoffs this year. They just put their starting quarterback on IR. And so why rush your franchise player back in a lost season? You're over 30-year-old franchise player season who coming into this year had played all 16 games, just two of the last four. So it's not going to be two of the last five with this season as well. Don't you think it makes sense to shut AJ Green down for the year?
Not when you're coaching for your job.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, exactly.
You're Marvin Lewis and you don't have the string is no longer. There is no more leash. You got to win games. And I know that the Bengals have been relentlessly loyal to Marvin Lewis. But he knows. Everybody knows.
But now Hugh Jackson's there waiting in the wings. So.
My point is this, is what you said makes sense. I think also that Hugh Jackson, you already got me thinking about it, Mike. Marvin Lewis is going to be coaching for his job going forward, and mathematically they're not eliminated, and that right there is enough to, if he is healthy. By the way, the player's also competitive, right? He wants to be out there.
I understand. I understand all of that. But I also think, by the way, I don't know, if I'm the general manager of that team,
the owner.
Who cares
about the bottom line,
right?
And cares about it's the most unique dynamic in the NFL by far. The Bengals have the weirdest organizational structure, maybe in all of pro sports. But they want to sell tickets. They want to have people there. They want to win some games. And Marvin Lewis needs to win games to keep his job. So I think what you're saying makes a lot of logic. I also think that when and if he's healthy, he's back into the lineup.
We shall see. Especially, but by the way, if they lose this week.
We'll see.
If they get eliminated,
host the Broncos this weekend, Chargers, Raiders, Browns, and Steelers to wrap things up.
I know fantasy players are hoping desperately that AJ Green come back. I don't know. As a human being, I think the guy should shut it down. Personally,
I'd love to see him come back. I mean, when he's healthy, I think he's so talented. The league deserves to see players like AJ Green on the field if he is healthy enough to be on the field. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk about some waiver wire ads.
You're in the 06010.
All right, now for this week's ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Hey, this is Liz Caceres, ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week, and you guys are all my favorite cast members of the 06010. I'm not even going to be snarky about it. You guys are great. And now, back to the show.
Wow.
I don't, that was nice.
Christmas came early. Nice.
Thank you, Liz.
She's feeling super weird for us at Thanksgiving.
Did she have the right show?
Yeah.
didn't want to be super snarky about it? So I'm not sure that,
That was the Bill Barnwell ZipRecruiter.
That was the Bill Barnwell ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
That makes a lot.
Now life makes a
lot
so much more sense.
All
right, I'm going to lead us into the waiver wire column and then hand it over to my friend, Matthew Berry, to kind of serve as your host for a few moments. Lamar Jackson, quarterback, Baltimore Ravens, still available in 50.9% of leagues in 2 weeks as a starter. He's got 25 points as a runner, 11.1 points as a passer. But the former is more important than the latter. He had just 11 carries in week 12. I say just very gratuitously, right? I mean, if that's the floor for Lamar Jackson, who had 71 rushing yards, it's clear that it may not be pretty when you watch it, but it is going to be fine when the box score emerges at the end of that game and in a matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. If there was ever an opportunity for the passing to come around, this is it, because the Falcons can't cover anybody, Mike.
Yeah, no question. And just like the Raiders, last week we talked about how they were bad against quarterbacks and running backs, which set up perfectly for Lamar Jackson. The Falcons are the exact same thing. They've been atrocious against both running backs and quarterbacks. So it's on the road this time. This will be his first road start. But obviously, playing against the struggling defense. We'll see if Deion Jones plays this game for Atlanta. That could move the needle a little bit.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to see him back on the field. I think he will play, too. He was close for Thanksgiving. So that's interesting. He's finished QB13 both weeks. So he's been kind of a fringe QB1. I don't know. I don't view him as a top 12 guy. He's fringe. I'm starting him in two QB leagues. But if you're looking for upside, looking for a home run, he's an option.
Matthew, want to take me to the next one here? Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. I think he is, and I know you've had a lot to say about him this week. I saw him as one of your waiver wire ads yesterday. Dak,
correct,
available in about 56.4% of leagues.
I feel like we've talked about him for quite some time. Like, as soon as Amari Cooper came over, we looked at the schedule saying, like, hey, we think this is something that's going to happen quite a bit. Field, he's had a rushing touchdown in three straight games. He's available in a lot of leagues and goes into a potential shootout this week with the Saints.
I'm a little bit nervous about this game becoming a runaway freight train and the Saints just finding a way to neutralize Dak Prescott in the same way that they neutralized Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz over the past 2 weeks. Ryan threw for a ton of yards, obviously, but the touchdowns weren't there in enough bulk. But Dak Prescott has been much more efficient in 5 touchdowns in his past 6 games on the ground. That part certainly helps.
Yeah, it certainly does. And by the way, I think Dak Prescott, and I've said this before, I've said this for a couple of weeks before, I think he's a viable top 12 quarterback, not just this week, but for the rest of the season. I mean, look at their upcoming schedule. Home to the Saints this week, Thursday night. Okay. Then home to Philadelphia, which is, you know, a secondary that's just been decimated, right? At Indianapolis in week 15. That's not a matchup that scares you. That we think that's probably a high scoring game. Home to Tampa Bay in week 16. And then for those that play in week 17, they're at the Giants. Like, that's a really nice schedule, and the Amari Cooper trade, you know, as we sort of talk about, you know, winners and losers, we talk about the Hyde trade, like, that doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, the Amari Cooper trade has certainly been everything Dallas hoped for and more in terms of opening up that offense, in terms of allowing more running lanes for not just Dak, but for Ezekiel Elliott as well, stretching the field, and giving the Cowboys a true home run threat.
He has been very good. My biggest concern with Dak is still not a great thrower of the football.
I was just going to add that he has not thrown for more than 2 touchdowns in a game this season. He's averaging 1.2 passing touchdowns per game. That worries me. You know, he doesn't have that high passing ceiling.
Well, listen, and it's not an offense that's really efficient. It's not an offense that's high volume. I mean, it's a team that likes to grind it out, and they have significant injuries on their offensive line as well. So, I get all that. But the argument, and one of the reasons I was anti-Dak coming into the season, and those were all those reasons, plus I wasn't sure that the rushing would continue. But here's a guy that has a rushing touchdown, as I said, in 3 straight games and in 5 of his last 6. And by the way, the Saints are one of the worst teams in the NFL in terms of defending running cornerbacks this year. So I do believe the rushing, It depends on sort of how you feel about Dak's rushing ability, but I do actually think the rushing keeps his floor reasonably high.
Last one here is Baker Mayfield. Make it quick. He's got multiple passing touchdowns in five straight games. The matchups for Baker Mayfield get decidedly more difficult than they have been over the past 6 weeks or so. But if you're going to add Baker Mayfield for a two-quarterback league or perhaps a streaming option when the matchups are right, you are banking on the talent because Baker Mayfield has looked red hot of late. Over 70% completion percentage over his past five games. It's just been fun to watch Baker Mayfield.
Yep. And I'll add, if you're truly, you know, we mentioned Driscoll as well. Like, I think if you're truly desperate, you're in a crazy deep league, Driscoll, and also say Colt McCoy, as we talked about yesterday, and you guys are thinking, think of a homer, but against the Eagles and that secondary, he hasn't had any time with the ones. He's going to get a bunch of time since last Thursday with the ones. Look, it won't always, similar to Lamar Jackson, won't always be pretty, but do I think Colt McCoy can put up 15 to 17 points on Monday night? I do indeed.
I want to see the Scarn again. Trey Quinn. I want to see the Scarn.
I love Trey Quinn. Hey, Daniel, why don't you tell us about Subaru?
Yeah, during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru and its retailers have shown just how far the love can go. Over 100 national parks supported through the National Park Foundation. More than 50,000 animals rescued through the ASPCA, my personal favorite. Nearly 2 million meals delivered through Meals on Wheels. More than 1,800 wishes granted through Make-A-Wish. More than 1,170 hometown charities have been supported. That's $140 million donated to charity by Subaru and its retailers over 11 years. Right now, when you get a new Subaru during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru will donate $250 to the charity of your choice. When we share love, we all win. The Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. And Exploring the Waiver Wire is brought to you by the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent Love is now bigger than ever. And guys, do my eyes deceive me? Or do a pair of Detroit Lions make this list?
Yeah, they do, Daniel. Yeah. One of them I actually feel confident in, which is Theo Riddick, who we've discussed on a couple of occasions already in the show, still available in 62.8% of leagues. He's got 25 catches over his past four games. Pretty simple math here. If he played a full 16-game season, that's a 100-catch pace there for Riddick. Matthew just mentioned the uptick in volume he's likely to see. LeGarrette Blount is kind of one of those cover-your-eyes when you put him in the lineup, but he had the perfect LeGarrette Blount game this past Thursday against the Bears. 19 rushes, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. The problem was he had 16 yards on 21 carries in the four games prior to that. It's a very good matchup if you're looking merely at rush defense stats for the Rams in week 13. The problem is, what are the chances the Rams are up 17-0 before we even blink on Sunday, which basically renders LeGarrette Blount as nothing more than touchdown dependent. Theo Riddick remains the Lions running back that I would wish to roster week to week. And obviously the value of Blount just evaporates entirely if Kerryon Johnson plays this Sunday.
Yeah, no question. If you start Blount, you're kind of hoping Kenny Golladay catches a long pass and gets tackled at the 1 yard line. I mean, that's your best argument to get points there. So I'm with you. I mean, I like Riddick for sure. I mean, either way, if Kerryon's back, I think he has some value. Look at his weekly finishes since he's been back from injury. 22, 24, 28, 21. He only has 3 carries, but he has 25 catches. It's second most at running back during the span, so he's a high floor and a fringe RB2 right now.
Four of his remaining five games come against defenses that rank 15th or worse in the bottom half of the league, basically, in terms of completion percentage to opposing running backs.
Let's get to handcuffs, because handcuffs are really important this time of the year. With bye weeks behind us, you have players, like, you're not saving, you're not saying, I can't afford to drop my top tight ends because I might lose him on the waiver wire, or I can stick with Harrison Butker for an extra week because I really love him as my kicker, or I'm not rostering two defenses. Well, maybe you are, but the point is this. You have some roster flexibility, and we got the unfortunate reality dose on Sunday of the importance of handcuff running backs when Melvin Gordon got hurt. He's now week to week, by the way. I think we kind of buried the lead there and not mentioning that earlier on in the show, but he's week to week with an MCL injury, which of course leads us to Austin Eckler. Now, Austin Eckler does not qualify for the waiver wire column. If he did, he'd be a top ad by far
this
week.
He's close though, right? He's right around 55%.
55%, yeah. But I think Austin Eckler has RB1 potential, Mike.
No question. I have him top 10 this week. I mean, you look back to the game Melvin Gordon missed in London, and the Chargers only ran, I believe it was 48 plays in that game, but 12 of the 16 carries by the Chargers were Austin Eckler. He also had 7 targets in that game. It was almost a 30% share. So it was a bizarre low volume game, but Eckler was clearly the workhorse. So I think he plays a gigantic role, pushes for 20 touches. He's been outstanding in his career. He's averaging over 5 yards per carry both of his seasons. He set up nicely for a huge game here. I like him a lot.
You know, there has been some talk. It'd be interesting to see how this plays out. And I have Eckler ahead of Justin Jackson, who I know also makes your list here, Field. But it'd be interesting to see how the Chargers running back situation plays out. I know that game in London where Gordon was out, sort of a last-second scratch, and it was the Austin Eckler show. But now, knowing that they're going to be without him for multiple weeks, do you see more Justin Jackson, who... You know, as good as Eckler has been, he's a little bit of a smaller back. It'd be interesting to see how much work Justin Jackson gets. I've seen some people suggest, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but I'm just putting it out there that I have seen some people suggest that Justin Jackson takes over Gordon's role and Eckler just sort of remains in the same role.
I would be surprised. I'll be surprised.
But... I would be too, but I'm just putting that theory out there that I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. Like I said, I have Eckler ranked ahead of Jackson right now as far from the information I have. But I do think Jackson gets involved. I don't think it's going to be all the Austin Eckler show on Sunday and going forward.
Todd Gurley, obviously tremendous player for the Rams. He has been the fantasy MVP this year. He is currently dealing with an ankle issue, though Sean McVay said it's going to be 100% by the time they play on Sunday. That being said, Malcolm Brown will be the next man up, in my opinion, if you had to choose one Rams running back. We've seen him play a decent amount. We saw him this past Monday night when Gurley needed a bit of a breather in that marathon game against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Rams are averaging a league-high 5.4 red zone drives per game. That's more than any team over the past 15 years by over half a drive. So a lot of value in this offense, obviously. Points are likely to come by. Here's where it gets trickier, though.
Okay.
Is Saquon Barkley, New York Giants, unbelievable, plays a ton. I think the answer is Wayne Gallman.
I saw him
last week, and obviously there's a lot of disagreement with the Giants' decision to rest Saquon Barkley for a drive in the third quarter against the Eagles this past week, but it was Wayne Gallman, not Jonathan Stewart. The problem with Jonathan Stewart is not very good anymore, right? He's just not an effective football player at this juncture of his career. Gallman was an excellent pass-catching back at Clemson. Do you disagree with that?
No, is Stewart even on the team anymore?
Yeah, he's designated for return. He's not back yet, though.
Right.
The point is that he could be back
if this event were to happen.
Understood. Got it. I would think Gallman would be the guy. Gallman's not Saquon Barkley. And I'm not saying Malcolm Brown is Todd Gurley, but I do think there's enough talent in Malcolm Brown and, candidly, enough talent in the rest of the Rams offense and Sean McVay's play calling that Malcolm Brown would become a top 10 running back if Gurley were to go down. I'm not convinced the same happens with Wayne Gallman given the rest of the skill position players in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly...
That would be my sort of take.
My thought on the Rams is we have a three-headed committee. They have Justin Davis, they have John Kelly, who's a super intriguing
rookie.
They like
Kelly a lot, yeah.
And Kelly could come in, have a couple big plays, and the next thing you know, we're all like... Malcolm Brown becomes Jamal Williams, and we're like, why is he on the field? Put in John Kelly. We want to see the Aaron Jones that they have, this explosive player. That could happen very quickly. So that would be my red flag and why I don't think Brown is a guy you necessarily have to hold. I think there are better handcuff options out there.
Well, one of them might be Kareem Hunt for the Kansas City Chiefs behind Spencer, where we've seen Kareem Hunt be a thing in the past. In 2016, he had over 900 rushing yards in every game he played that year.
Yeah. You said Hunt.
We've seen Spencer Ware be a thing before. In 2016, he had over 900 rushing yards, 5 total touchdowns in that game, in that season. He had 33 catches, so productive in the passing game as well. Damian Williams is still on the roster for the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think Spencer Ware is most likely to absorb that Kareem Hunt-esque role, and the Chiefs obviously rolling as well. 7.05 yards per play this season. Final one here that I think we can mention, and the full list of top 10 handcuffs are available on today's waiver wire column, is James Conner. If he goes down, I think it's Jalen Samuels in Pittsburgh. We've seen him play a little bit more of late. So fullback / tight end / running back in college at NC State. Really versatile player, good in the passing game. Stephen Ridley probably gets some carries here too, but Samuels is a much better player than Stephen Ridley. He would seem to be the next man up in Pittsburgh.
No question. I think that was the plan when they brought him in. He has a very kind of David Johnson-like feel to him, just the way, you know, he's like a borderline H-back. He could catch the ball extremely well, did that a ton at the college level. He could run it.
He caught more balls in college than he had actual rushing attempts.
Right, yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. so
Very intriguing
unique
prospect.
Player. Yeah. So he would be the next man up there. But philosophically, let's just talk about this quickly, is like just the idea of handcuffs. So people are saying like, all right, I'm adding a handcuff. Who am I dropping? It's one thing if you have a second kicker. You don't need two kickers. But there'll probably be some players that are like backup wide receivers for you. Like at what point do you draw the line of, okay, this player is more valuable to me, this backup running back is a handcuff, than, for example, D.D. Westbrook or any Jaguars wide receiver.
Sure.
How do you find that line?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a process that you go through and you basically say, what, play out the scenario. Okay, so like, you know, in the case of Malcolm Brown.
Yep.
Let's pretend Todd Gurley for some reason isn't playing and we know Malcolm Brown's the guy. Am I starting Malcolm Brown over this person? You know, like, so if this person can't make the lineup, is there any scenario in which this person makes my starting lineup? Like LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
Like, does LeSean, like, are you starting Malcolm Brown? Like, let's pretend you're in a, and you don't have LeSean McCoy. You're never starting him. And then you're like, if Todd Gurley goes down, am I starting Malcolm Brown or LeSean McCoy? Starting Malcolm Brown. Feel free to drop LeSean McCoy for a backup in, for a handcuff in that scenario. I'm just giving you an example.
Right.
In terms, of, is, does this player ever make your starting lineup?
Interesting.
That's how I would do it. I mean, you guys can talk about it, but you only have limited, you have limited roster spots. You're saving a defense that you have for like, this has a, this defense has a great matchup in week 15. So you might be carrying two defenses here, but to me, I think wide receiver is the obvious place to go because there's so much depth of the position. Yes, if you suddenly have a need, there's probably an easier way to go grab one off the waiver wire. Same, honestly, with quarterback. You know, like you probably don't need to carry two quarterbacks at this juncture, assuming you have a good one. And if you're heading into the playoffs, chances are you have a good one.
Yeah, ideally you have one quarterback, one tight end, one defense, one kicker at this point. You know, there could be some exceptions there if you have a lot of talent, like if you have George Kittle and, you know, like you drafted Kelce and you picked up Kittle and, you know, something like that's an exception. I think McCoy's probably a little over the line for me.
Right.
But, that's exactly everything else you said is accurate. I mean, guys like Kenny Stills, D.D. Westbrook, guys that are on the end of your bench who are your sixth in line, you know, your, maybe your sixth running back in line or your sixth wide receiver who's never going to play barring major injury issues to your starting lineup. You don't need those guys. You can pick up some guys you mentioned and Field, you mentioned your waiver wire column. There's a great list in there of all the top running backs in their handcuff. Rod Smith's another guy. He's been floating on and off my roster all season long. Those are guys that can win you championships if someone gets injured. So
yeah, I'd say players that come to mind might be like younger receivers. You have, we talked about the number, the robust number of receivers that are available. Like how about a Marquez Valdez-Scantling? Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton, bye-bye. Guys that we thought could become things that had flashes this year could certainly be comfortable dropping either one of those types of players.
Chase Edmonds would be a guy. By the way, in terms of, you know, Giovanni Bernard, by the way, if something were to happen to Mixon now that Bernard's back. So those are some guys.
Lots of options.
A real quick question. What do you do if you don't roster any of these running backs, but the handcuff is still out there on the waiver wire? I mean, is there anything?
You don't have Todd Gurley, but Malcolm Brown is out there.
Right. Like, is it, should, do you, would you say employ the same strategy? You look at your roster. If I'm never going to start this guy over, you know, Malcolm Brown gets hurt, it's, you know, I know it's not my handcuff, but I'm potentially stopping someone else that I could meet in the playoffs. Is that a, you know, is that a strategy that you guys would employ?
I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I do that year round. Yeah. I mean, especially on, I mentioned this earlier.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun playing the league with you.
Yeah. Like Sunday morning, if a guy goes on IR and I have an IR slot and I throw him on there, I'm going right to look for the backup for a running back that's playing that day because if 20 minutes later, Zeke goes down,
if
and
Melvin Gordon gets hurt, and you've already got and you've got Eckler or whatever.
Move.
Right,
that just saves you pretty much your entire fab or waiver spot, and you know you have an RB 2 or 1 the next week.
Yeah.
No question, you should do that year round.
It's a lottery ticket in that scenario. You don't have Todd Gurley, but you're picking up Malcolm Brown. It's just a lottery ticket, and it all depends upon roster construction. There is a chance where sometimes I've seen teams or people get too cute. And they drop somebody that could potentially be productive for him for a Malcolm Brown that has no value whatsoever unless something were to happen to Gurley or whatever. They clinch and then, you know, they're going to rest Gurley in week 16 or week 17, something like that. But yeah, I don't have an issue with it. It feels, I mean, I'm no issue with, you know, playing defense. As it were, like if the way you're looking at it, like I'm
going to play quarterbacks in a week, like Daniel did recently.
Look, I thought it was. I gave him a lot of grief about it, but I never said it was a wrong move.
Yeah,
no, if there was like collusion across the league to do something, but like it's a blocking strategy to be able to get a win that week.
Yes, I didn't think it was a particularly bright move because of who else was out there and because you had other needs.
Correct.
But I didn't have an issue with it, and I gave you crap about it because that's our relationship, but I didn't think it was like a quote, illegal move, as it were.
Totally.
Yeah.
Good stuff there. Can't overstate the importance of handcuff running backs at this time of the year, especially the right players to handcuff. One waiver wire ad amongst wide receivers, Tre'Quan Smith, still available in a bunch of leagues. I know he missed last week's game. That actually might help you find Tre'Quan Smith on the waiver wire this week. We do not know if he'll play on Thursday against the Cowboys, but if you're looking for an upside ad, like, let's say he goes crazy again on Thursday, I'm just telling you, the ship will have sailed right past you. This is your window to add someone like Tre'Quan Smith. All right, as usual, Wednesday, Mike back with us hanging out. In the meantime, we got the fantasy show on ESPN Plus coming up today. There'll be all kinds of great stuff there for Matthew.
Yep.
And we also have ranks. They're going to be live on ESPN.com soon. If they are not already, Mike's cornerback wide receiver column comes up with tomorrow or Thursday?
That comes tomorrow. Today is Fantasy 32.
Fantasy 32, yeah, a great soon. Read there every single day. He's Mike Clay NFL on Twitter and Instagram. He is Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app, which continues to crush things like grapes.
RotoPassDaily.com. You can use the promo code Cyber for 15% off. Cyber Week continues here. Get yourself some DFS knowledge and all sports access to a bunch of great sites, including ESPN Plus and Fantasy Labs and a bunch of our friends out there. So check it out at RotoPassDaily.com. Use the promo code Cyber for 15% off.
I'm Field Yates. Talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle. In case you didn't know, Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stabell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dobbs.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fan.